this song is Happy Day, and it's a happy day because we have Jesus in our lives, right? Doesn't matter what the outside looks like, what's going on in the country, what's going on in the world. We have a reason to be happy. We have a reason to have joy unspeakable in our hearts. And so, Lord, today we celebrate, Lord, that joy. Lord, we celebrate that love that you've given us. We celebrate your goodness and your grace, Lord. Lord, as that song that Gay was showing, Lord, we celebrate the blessing of you in our lives and the blessing that you are to us. We just ask, Lord, that you would allow us to receive everything that you have intended for us today. Lord, that we would not leave this service, Lord, in any way leaving on the table something that you have prepared for us. So, Lord, let our hearts be open. Let our minds be able to receive, Lord, that truth that you want to impart to us. And let it go deep down into us, Lord, where it brings change and transformation. Where we're not the same, Lord, but we're changed and we're transformed. We just thank you for that, Lord. Thank you, though.
Greatest day in history. Death has beaten, you have rescued me. Sing it out, Jesus is alive. The empty cross, the empty grave. Right eternal, you have won the day. Sing it out, Jesus is alive. He's alive. And oh, happy day. Happy day. You watched my sin. keeps himself in line, and darkness tries to hide and trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God? Say it with me.
Just yesterday with the sisters, and one of them works for Evergreen Hospital and clinics and stuff, and so she was concerned, and she asked, with her being exposed to all the sickness, should she go to Mass? And all the sisters said the same thing, basically almost at the same time: God knows your heart. And then so, and I also told them, you know, this is something that the enemy is trying to scare us with. He wants us to stay in a state of fear. Last year we had bird flu, swine flu. We've had Zika virus. We've had every year there's something new that keeps people away from church and keeps people away from being around other people. And so I just said to them, you know what? There is no virus and no sickness. As much as I don't want to be sick, there is no virus or anything that God can't heal, either on earth or in heaven. So with all this fear that's going on, just remember that God is in control always and still and forever.
Yeah. He's a great God, isn't he?
Lay between us.
deserve your love, Lord, but you give it. You freely give it because that's who you are. You are love. Thank you, Jesus.
As we were singing that last song, I was thinking about a time when my first baby had slept in because somebody had shut her door and shut my door, so I didn't hear her wake up. And by the time I got in there, everything was off, and everything that was in the diaper was smeared everywhere. And my habit was to get up, warm up a bottle, take it into her, and as she's drinking her bottle, I would go take my shower. And as I went to give her the bottle, I went, oh, no, you know, because I just, it was everywhere. But I thought, how many times does Jesus see me in my nastiness like that? And even though I have poop everywhere, whether it be inside in my heart or in my attitude or my actions, but he still gives me what I need and picks me up and cleans me off. And amen. That's what I did with my baby. Picked her up out of that bed amongst all that nastiness, laid her in the bathtub and let her drink that bottle as I'm trying to clean up as much as I could. And I didn't love her any less. He doesn't love us any less. So if you're in the midst of a period of time right now where you don't feel so pretty, you don't feel so lovable, you are lovable to him, no matter what state he finds you in.
Well, and just as important as he can't love us any less is that he can't love us any more than he loves us. He loves us with everything that he has. He loves us with his entire being. And there's nothing that we can do to be loved more. We can't be any better to be loved more. We can't live any better to be loved more. We're loved. So how do we respond to that love? Do we respond to that love as, oh, well, thank you, Jesus, for dying for me, but, you know, I just want to go do my own thing, and I know you love me, so that's not the heart of somebody who knows they're loved. When you know you're loved, you love back. And
yeah.
For us to love Jesus means to live a life that is in honor of him, a life that is dedicated to him.
Unfortunately for us, though, we can turn it off and on.
Mm-hmm.
He's given us enough intelligence to turn it off and on. And he just wants us to leave it full throttle open.
Right.
Whether or not we feel it or not. That's the whole thing. It can't go on feelings. It has to go on what we know and what the word says, what the scripture tells us. Because that's truth. That's the truth.
Amen. So, speaking of love, this love. And you see, it's 1 Corinthians 13. I've been reading 1 Corinthians 13 for the past few weeks. I've been reading different translations. Years ago, this is one of the chapters the Lord had me memorize when I was first saved. And it's a good one to have memorized. not always easy to live up to, but it's a good one to at least have in your heart. I know there's many times that I've been able to quote it back and help somebody realize that the way that they're proceeding may not be in the character and nature of love. So it says 1 Corinthians 13, but really for this to be a adequate and a truth about why we're even talking in 1 Corinthians 13 about this love, you need to go back a little bit into chapter 12. And that's what we're going to do, because Paul's talking about something that is above and beyond normal Christianity. And as we'll see here, go ahead and Jess. Sorry. Make you have to stand up and everything is terrible of me. Bless your heart. Okay, got it, bro. Thank you.
1 Corinthians 12:27-31. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way.
So this is a powerful verse, verses that a lot of times are used to communicate gifts of the Spirit, gifts that are given to the body of Christ. And these are all powerful gifts. As we read, you know, the gifts of apostles, those that have been sent to build and encourage and edify and even sometimes start a whole new city for Christ, as Paul and other of the early apostles were. Prophets, teachers, the workers of miracles, gifts of healing. Those are all amazing gifts. And how many have been to, you know, a prophet, you know, at a church? Listen to what a prophet has. We've had prophets here before, and they communicate things that are in our hearts and things that God is doing, and they link up with that. Teachers giving us instruction in the word, instruction for our lives to help us live lives in fulfillment and growth in the things of Christ. So all of these are really important. Administrative gifts, those are gifts for for planning and helping others, you know where to be and know what to do. These, you know, all powerful gifts, tongues and various kinds of tongues. But then he goes on to say in 29, are all apostles? I would say no, right? Are all prophets? I'd say no. Are all teachers? No. Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? And do all interpret? No, we know that we're a body and we're all part of a body, and every body has its own function, its own purpose and everything. And so he does say, you know, earnestly desire higher gifts, you know, go ahead and have a passion for all that God has created you to be. That would be in the area of gifting or in the area of functioning, because some people think, like to use the terminology teachers, that's how they function, you know. But then Paul goes on to say, but then I will show you still a more excellent way. Now I want to take just a moment here and look at this, what he's saying here. In the complete Jewish Bible, it says, eagerly seek the better gifts, but now I will show you the best way of all. So in a way, what Paul is saying here, all of these gifts and everything are great, and there's nothing wrong with them. But folks, there's a better way than even the gifts. There's something, as this translation, CLV says, transcendent. There's something that even transcends all of these giftings. As spiritual as they are and as blessed and much of a blessing as they are, there's still a higher way. You know, there's still a higher calling. You know, Paul said, I go for that upper calling in Christ Jesus. Well, I wonder if the upper calling was what we're about to discuss. And it seems to be the most elusive for us to operate in as individuals. It's easy to operate in our gifting because it's a gift. You know, you ask any opera singer that was born that way, been singing since they were 3 or 4 years old, and they go, wow, you must practice a lot. No, I don't practice at all. I just get up there and I sing. You mean you don't practice? No, it's a gift. There's no practice necessary. It's not like they had to work for it. There are individuals out there like that in lots of different, you know, avenues. You know, there's people that are mathematicians. They didn't go to be math. They just knew it. You know, they saw it. And that's what I see in my head. And they just do it. They didn't have to go to school for years and years and years to learn all this math. Einstein flunked most of his schooling. Yet he came up with the most amazing, you know, formulas to this day that some people are still trying to prove is E equals MC squared. What I'm trying to say is that the giftings of who we are is who we are. But there's a more excellent way, a better way. And as I like this translation, it says here in the Amplified. Oh, sorry, it's not the Amplified. We'll go to the Message first. But now I want to lay out a far better way for you. And I would actually call it a better way even to live than just the giftings. Mm-hmm. And this kind of flies in the face of some of the thinking that we have, you know, because we want to be spiritual dynamos kind of it sometimes. You know, we want to be the best teacher and the best prophet. And, you know, maybe we don't, but I'm just saying for a long time, that was kind of the pursuit. The Amplified says, and yet I will show you still a more excellent way, one that is better by far and the highest of them all. I like that. The highest of them all. So what is this way, Pastor Mike? This sounds really good. The beauty of this way is that we all have this way. We all have this if we operate in it. It's not something that we have to have as a gifting. We've been given it. So let's see what it is. Oh, go ahead.
If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal.
Keep going. Yeah, we'll read this for three verses.
And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing.
So here we have the kind of boiling down to what Paul's trying to say. It doesn't matter if I speak in the tongues with men or speak in the tongues with angels. If I don't have love operating in me, if I don't have love as part of who I am in my existence, if I don't operate in that love that God has given me, because I am loved by God, if I don't do that, I'm just like a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. In other words, I'm just noise. It's not helping anyone.
Right.
How many have gone, you know, to like a musical thing, an orchestra or something like that, and when they were all playing their part, it sounded great. But then at the end of it, some little kid goes up there, and someone didn't watch him, and he grabs that big, and he starts hitting that gong, gong, gong. It just is out of place, and it doesn't sound good at that point, does it? Because it's not functioning as it was meant to function. And that's kind of the way it is when we have giftings, but we don't operate in love. I like to say this because I think this is the key. But have not, and none of the translations say this, and I've quoted this to you. I believe that what it means to have love means to have a motivation of love. In other words, that is our intent. Doesn't mean that we're perfect, because, I mean, we're always going to struggle with our imperfections. You read through this list that we're going to go through, 4 through 8, it sounds almost impossible to do that. Well, it is impossible, but all things are possible in God, in Christ Jesus. Yes?
You can tell, you know, like when you're watching other people and you know, you can see these people who have made it their thing that they speak in tongues and they have the ear of God and they heal. And you can hear it in them that you're turned off.
You can catch that, yeah. I mean, I guess it depends on, because I know for years I was like, you know, I don't think I would catch that in people.
Yeah.
I was just, whoa, they can do this, you know. Years ago, I went to this is years and years ago. This is like 1980. What are you laughing at?
You're very absorbent.
Why am I very absorbent?
No, because you don't know. You didn't notice stuff like that before.
No. Well, I think it was just the...
instead of observant.
I was talking to Gary this morning. He was talking about how when you're a new Christian, I was a new Christian, and it's like powerful. You see this stuff, and it's like, and I hate to use this term, but back then it was like magic. I mean, these people, you know, could read your mail. They knew what was going on. And I'm trying to remember Dick. I can't remember what's his last name. Anyway, he was very famous, and he would give you scriptures that would then line up with your life. Mm-hmm. And it was like amazing. And, you know, and he was giving God the glory and everything. But I don't know if I could have picked that up as much then as I do now, because I realize that, you know, most of us who operate in any kind of gifting should have a great humility for that gift, because it's not ours. Something that was given to us, something that we have been honored with as a steward, but not something that just is like, we're so great that we can do this. You know what I'm saying? Look at me, you know, and yeah, and raise money or yeah, the next, you know, big offering or whatever it is. So the reason that I'm bringing this up though, about being a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal, yes, it is frustrating when it's that way to the church. I will admit that. But what's more frustrating when it's this way to the world, to those who maybe for whatever reason aren't hearing the message of love, aren't hearing the message of the cross properly because of the lack of motivation of love and caring for individuals that need to come at the same time when operating in gifts.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have anything going through your head? Okay. Let's go ahead and look at the next one. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith as to remove mountains. Now, this is super dynamo Christian here, folks. he's not saying, he's saying, and if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and know all knowledge, and if I have all faith to where I can actually remove a mountain, but have not love, I am nothing. I mean, that's like, That's like pulling the rug out from under somebody. If they really think about this, if all of these things were not in the motive of love and operated through the heart of love, and the attitude of love, then it's nothing. If the intent of using those prophetic powers, or the intent of knowing all mysteries, or if the intent of having all knowledge, or having faith that moves mountains, the intent of it was not to communicate love, then it's nothing. Anybody else hear an ouch here? I mean, this is really, I mean, we could say, okay, well, these are all powerful, but I mean, folks, if coming to church on Sunday morning, if the intent isn't love, it's nothing. You might as well just stay at home. I'm telling you. If you're coming here to fulfill some Christian duty, it's not worth doing it. But if you're coming here because you love the Lord and you love the body and we want to grow together and we want to encourage each other, we enjoy being together in fellowship, koinonia, then now we're talking about something right. That has eternal value.
Yeah, right.
And that's what he's talking about. It's not that prophetic powers operating outside of love can't bless somebody, because they can. There's people that have operated in that attitude, and yet God uses them to speak to the heart of a child that needs something, and it's used for his glory. But it does not attain anything in that individual. He's not growing in the depth of Christ.
Right.
See, he may display something outwardly, but God doesn't look at outwardly, does he?
Mm-mm.
He doesn't look at how much our ministry, I mean, some people say, well, look at all the souls I've won. Well, God doesn't look at that. That's the outer appearance. He wants to know what's going on in this ticker. Mm-hmm. I want to know what's going on in the heart. That's why David could kill Uriah and do all these outward things that look like, well, this guy's not serving God. Yet his heart was still mm-hmm. towards God. Does anyone have anything else?
Well, I'm just thinking about the scripture that talks about it. You know, if you don't praise him, the rocks will cry out. If God would use a rock to praise him, he'd use us dumb people. Do you know? He'll use me, even if I'm not all that and a bag of chips. He'll use me. And so if he's willing to substitute me for a rock, he's willing to work with me. And if my heart is pure in that, growth can happen.
Yeah.
And he sees in there. And who cares about what others see, you know? I mean, we do care, unfortunately, but we have to get to a point where we don't anymore, where we recognize my growth in God is more important than anything. My growth in God is the most important thing.
And I would even add to that, and your growth in God needs to be your amount that you have been loved, because
right.
you cannot respond any more in love or in even devotion than how much you've been loved.
Right.
Okay. Does anyone else have anything? Okay.
Okay.
Okay. And then this one, if I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body even to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. So again, this is like if I do everything as a sacrifice and even surrender my very body as a martyr, yet love isn't at the core of it, my martyrdom gained nothing. This is heavy duty.
This speaks so much to Mother Teresa's life, doesn't it, though?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this woman had, she walked barefoot, she had crooked feet, she was nothing to look at, and she didn't care, but she loved the unlovely. She loved, and everyone could see that love. Everyone could feel, spiritually speaking, that love. That's what we need to be after, not to be a replica of Mother Teresa, but to have a heart that wants so much to please God that her crooked little feet, I don't know if any of you guys have seen pictures of her feet, but some of her toes were crossed over the top of the other toes. I mean, it had to be painful to walk those stony grounds. And she did it because she loved them. And we have to be willing to love that way and allow God to help us love that way and to receive his love more and more each day. It's not just a one-time boom. I mean, I know that we have all the love that he can give us, but we don't always operate in that love.
That's the key. How much of it have we let actually mature in us and become evident and manifest in us? Which takes time.
It does.
I mean, how many realize this Christian walk takes time? Bob, I know you're going to say yes, amen. Phyllis, have you arrived yet, Phyllis? Have you arrived yet? Not yet, huh?
Not yet.
I think we all say that we're all a work in progress, as well as all the other individuals that we interact with at work, in the family, maybe ones that are seem in dark places in life right now. But there's still a work in progress. We don't know what God has in store for them tomorrow or 20 years from now. We don't know.
Right.
So we need to treat them now as if God is working in them, because he is, even though we don't see it. And that's what love sees. Love doesn't see the corrupted, messed up, you know, individual that looks like they're never going to amount to anything and are just worth the junk heap. Love sees the potential that is in them. Love sees them as God sees them.
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine if God just saw mankind in their depravity and not in their finished work? It'd be horrible.
Yeah.
You have something, Gary? You just... just smiling. Okay. So if we think about love and this idea, but have not love, what is it saying? I've kind of explained a little bit, but this kind of helps communicate a little bit more. The Passion Translation says, yet I didn't express myself with love. So in other words, the Bible at one point says, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth, but what such is for edifying and building up and for, you know, for the exhortation. In other words, words of encouragement, words that cause people to grow and not feel put down. And so that's one form of love. Also, another way of expressing love can be having compassion. You know, this word love here is the word translated in another translation, charity, and it's also the word agape, and it's an unconditional giving of yourself.
Right.
Like you said, Mother Teresa, an unconditional giving of all those lepers and individuals who were orphans and had no limbs, and all of these traits that said they were of no value. Love said, no, you have value because you are God's creation.
Right.
The complete Jewish Bible says this, but if I lack love, in other words, if I'm not operating with love, if I'm lacking it. And the thing is, the only reason that we lack love is because we don't love work. Because it says that God's love has been shed abroad in our hearts, fully in our hearts. So we have it. You know, I've heard some people say, I don't know how you love people. I just can't love them. You know, and they're Christians. Well, you can. It's just you're choosing not to. It's a choice.
It's work.
Love is a choice. Just like, you know, some people say, oh, you just have a great marriage and, you know, it doesn't take any work or anything like that. You know, hello? No, that's not true. That's a lie from the pit of hell. You know, I always tell people, you know, marriage is a job that you don't get fired from, you know, and you can't quit. It really is. There's work involved.
Yeah.
Is there blessing? Yes. And is there a relationship that's fulfilling? Yes. But there's also work, because marriage is a full commitment to an imperfect individual. I'm fully committed to all of your imperfections. You're fully committed to all of my imperfections.
Yeah.
But in that comes a learning of love.
Right.
And so if we think about this choice that we have to make in marriage, in relationships. We make a choice for our spouse. We do the same thing when it comes to loving others. Mm-hmm. I'm going to choose to love the way I got. Now, I'm not saying don't let it be a monkey on your back where you're just saying, oh, I got to love this person. And you do it begrudgingly. That's not love. Don't do it begrudgingly. Don't give to God begrudgingly and don't try to love others or try to do anything for God. Do it. Say, Lord, I don't know how, but I'm going to surrender to the love that's been put in my heart mm-hmm. to this individual and help me love with true reality. In other words, in truth. In truth. In other words, I may not completely feel it, but I want to do it as if I was loving you. And that's the best way I can think to keep from lacking love. Mm-hmm. You purpose to love.
But what about the one that hurt you really bad? What about the one that you haven't worked through completely? Forgiving. That you still, when they walk through your mind, you either shoot a rock at them or get a BB gun and take them out.
BB gun, yeah.
You know, when if they're not safely walking through your mind, that means you haven't forgiven them. What about then?
Well, you have to move through the process, okay? So you can't love someone until you've forgiven them. You know, because it's you can want to love them. Say, oh, I want God to, you know, to do so. But you truly can't love in an expression to them unless you've forgiven them. Because if they can't walk through your mind, how are you going to then do something of kindness and grace and when they're hurting, be there for them?
I can ignore them for the rest of my life.
Easily ignore them for the rest of your life, yeah. But that's not love.
And that's not helping me any.
No.
So let me just say this, because I just sense that in here a little bit about unforgiveness. We need to make sure that unforgiveness is less than the love we have for someone. And what I mean by that is, and I'm going to be very vulnerable here, just a couple of weeks ago, maybe three, maybe four at the most, I contacted someone that I have not spoken to in years. And I asked them to forgive me for harboring unforgiveness in my heart against them. And asked them, please forgive me. I love you. I am so sorry that I've held on to this unforgiveness. Now, I'm a pastor's wife. I'm supposed to know what this is all about. But every time I have dealt with unforgiveness tends to be the hardest thing for me. So I want to do just a little exercise, okay? So, Nani and Elena, could you come up here real quick? Sorry, I'm just going to show this because I feel like I want to.
No, you're good.
Okay. So, Nani, you stand, or Elena, you stand over there on the green carpet, just straight out from me. And, Nani, you stand between us. Now, Elena and I love each other, but Elena has made me so mad, and she has offended me so badly that all I can see in Elena is the offense that she has brought to my heart. When I look at Elena, all I see is that offense, that offending thing that happened. Now, over there is Elena. She hasn't got a clue. And even if she does, she don't really care that she's hurt you, me. She's over there and Jesus is loving on her and blessing her and working in her life and growing in her life. But I cannot see one bit of that growth, one bit of that love, one bit of that goodness in her because I'm looking at the offense that happened how long ago? But when I say, God, I forgive Elena truly in my heart, and then offense starts walking away, just right there. Oh, I can see Elena now. Wait a minute. Offense doesn't really want to give up that easily. Oh, nope. I forgive. I choose to forgive. I've done this, honestly. In 1 hour, I have said it almost on a minute-by-minute basis. I forgive. And then it comes, I forgive. And then it comes, I forgive. And I have done that. And pretty soon,
fence goes
off goes that fence. And now I can
You're not offensive. You're a great person. But
now I can see Elena in the true righteousness of God, how God has grown her life, how God has matured her in Him, how God has helped her to learn to love. And I can actually receive her. Do you see what I'm doing there? Do you see what I mean by that?
But
I can
receive her. What if she hasn't grown, though? What if she's just remained?
I still receive her where she's at. But see, the whole thing is, I've grown.
Right.
So if I've grown, I still see more goodness in her than I do the offense.
There you go.
See, the whole thing about it is, she may not have grown, but I have grown in God.
And so you see her through God's eyes.
I see her through the eyes of God because I know that that's what I'm supposed to be doing. So now I can see her. I can bless her. I can pray for her. So a lot of times, thanks, sweet pea. So a lot of times what I'm saying is this. If you're mad at somebody, the greatest defense, honestly, is to pray blessing for them. Pray blessing on them. Now, I have a little story to tell you. Sorry, we're going off a little bit.
No, we're good.
So there was this guy, his name was Bob, and Bob had a neighbor that lived right next door, Bill, and Bill and Bob were arguing and arguing and arguing. Well, John lived across the street, and one morning, early, Bob, who's feuding with Bill, goes over to John's and takes John a coffee cake that his wife made for the neighbors across the street. And John says to Bob, "Bob, why was Bill over in your garden at 4 o'clock this morning pulling the weeds?" And he says, "Bill was not in my garden pulling weeds." "Oh no, I saw, John, I saw Bill in your garden weeding your garden." "Well, I can't believe that." Off goes Bill back home. So John's curious. Like, okay, Bill doesn't know that Bob was over there. So he goes to Bob's house. Did I mix up the names?
No.
Am I still doing good? "Bob, why were you over at Bill's house pulling weeds? Why would you do that? You guys are feuding." And he says, I'm putting heaping coals of burning coals on his head." That's what scripture talks about in the Old Testament. When you want to bless someone, you heap coals on. "And I hope it burns his brains out." Now, that's not the way we're supposed to be. But that's just kind of we still want to bless people that have hurt us. And that's very, very hard to do. But what it does is this. "Elena, I bless you in the name of Jesus. I bless you because I know God is using you. I know God has a plan for your life. I know that there is a purpose. I see the giftings in you. I know that they are growing. I see your heart, even though it's hidden in God. I see your intentions. I love you. I pray blessing on you." Now, she offended me, remember? How can I do that? But all of a sudden, I just felt the Spirit of God just washing through me for Elena. I felt God giving me the grace to be able to say, "Now, I'm not really mad," but you see what I'm saying? We can do this, you guys. We can love. And it is the greatest thing to do. It's wonderful if y'all can teach. It's wonderful if y'all can preach. It's wonderful if y'all can be an apostle or a evangelist or a whatever you are. But if you are that, but you cannot love people, why are you wasting your time? And God's time. God's like, "I'll use you, but you know, you're going about it the wrong way." Just love. Just love. I'm not talking the 1960s hippie love. "Oh, I love everybody. Throw flowers." Do, you know, I'm not talking that. I'm talking deep in the heart. I love. Okay.
Amen. That's good. Yeah, I would call, I was just, while you were saying about love. I mean, forgiveness. I think forgiveness can be like a doorway, and unforgiveness is a closed door.
Yeah.
And when we with forgiveness, we get the key to the door that we can open, and then we can see what God has in store, or we can see the individual as God has created them and working in them. Jonathan Mitchell, New Testament, says this: Yet am not constantly having and continuously holding love. So it's like, what are we holding? Are we holding unforgiveness? Are we holding resentment? Are we holding pride? Are we holding, you know, ego, you know, or you know,
jealousy
or selfish gain or whatever it is? If we're holding those things, you can't hold love at the same time.
Yeah.
So you have to hold love. It has to be something that is purposed, and it is something. The thing is, again, it's not something we're trying to get from outside somewhere. Oh, you know, go to the altar and just cry out, God, I need more of your love. No, that's not what you need. You need to choose to live in the love that has already been poured out in you. Yes. And you're not lacking it in any way.
You have it.
You have it.
You just have to.
You have to use it.
Use it.
Yeah. You have to allow it to work in you. Okay, let's go ahead and look at these three things one more time. So again, when we're not operating in love, these are the three results that we get back. You're going to be as a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. You're going to make a lot of noise, but you're not going to accomplish anything.
Right.
Maybe you're even going to frustrate people and turn individuals off. And you're really not going to amount to anything, which is terrible when you think about it, because we are individuals that carry the glory of God. We are treasures that's in us. These earthen vessels are so valuable. Yet when we operate outside of love, it's as if we have no value. Ugh, I don't like that. And then there's no reward. There's no return. It's one of those things that you're just sowing amiss because you're not sowing with intention. And with intention means with love. And then quickly, this is where we'll be next week, or when we get back to it again. 1 Corinthians 13:4-8. Go ahead and read that.
Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous. It does not brag, and it is not proud. Love is not rude. It is not selfish, and it cannot be made angry easily. Love does not remember wrongs done against it. Love is never happy when others do wrong, but it is always happy with the truth. Love never gives up on people. It never stops trusting, never loses hope, and never quits. Love will never end.
I just wanted to leave us on a positive note instead of the last being noisy and nothing. So remember that. Because I used to read this, like in 13:4-8. I used to read this and like, okay, I've got to be patient. I've got to be kind, you know. Somebody would start doing something, I'd be irritated. Okay, I've got to practice patience. And it was like this weight I had to carry. But love allows us to be patient. It's kind of like the fruit of the Spirit. One of the fruits of the Spirit is patience, isn't it?
Yep.
Isn't it interesting that one of the fruits of the Spirit is kindness and gentleness, which is in here. So a lot of the things that love is also the fruit of the Spirit. Love is a very fruit of the Spirit. And right. So we know that we have those things.
Right.
We have them in us. We just need to allow them to operate. So how do the practicality of this, because it's one thing to say, okay, this is what you guys need to do, but then how do you do it? Like you said, you can bless them. You can do this. When you see somebody operating that is causing frustration or anxiety or, you know, angst or whatever it is, instead of retaliating or, you know, returning same back to them, you know, an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, whatever you want to say. Instead, ask yourself, how does God see them? What does God see in them? Who are they in God? Well, you say, well, they're not a Christian, so you can go that route. But don't do that, because they are a creation of God. You know, as Paul said, you know, they are his offspring. They're his children. They live and they move and they have their being in him. So God knows about them. And even though they may not have come to the realization that Christ has saved them and given them new life, and they've received that new life, there's still something in them that we can see that is God. And that will help us to love them.
Right. Well, and I think, too, when we have a hard time seeing them in love, and we just don't know how to get over that, sometimes it will take wise counsel. Sometimes you will have to go to someone that is more seasoned or can be outside, you know, be out of the forest so that they can see more than just the trees and they can help you. Because I have been upset with someone and he's been upset with someone, but he's been easily able to forgive, where me, I hold on to that little puppy for all it's worth. And he says, but look at the intentions of their heart. And then I go, their intentions, even though the way it came across may have been crass, rude, mean, whatever, what was the heart of the matter? Like, can I look beyond that outside person that I see that's not so pretty and look at their heart and the intention of their heart? Because that's what he did. That's how when I was having a problem, I went to him and I said, how are you doing this? We both have problems with this, with what they've done. You know, I just want to smack them or slap them.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, but where's their heart at? I mean, honestly, look beyond that. Their intentions are good. Whether or not they came from a bad place of saying whatever they said or doing whatever they did or reacting the way they did, their heart is for God. Their heart is for good. And if I can see that, it's easier for me to be able to forgive.
Right.
And then see the love in them.
Right.
So sometimes you need wise counsel too. Sometimes you're not able to do it by yourself because that humanness in you rises up, and then it takes somebody else to help you smash it back down again. You know?
And sometimes you're going to fail. Sometimes you're going to have a bad day and you did not respond in love. But you know what? You have a new day.
Yeah.
His mercies are new every morning,
every
you can receive his love afresh and try again the next day. Usually individuals that are upsetting us continue to upset us until we've got it right in our heart. For whatever reason, we start seeing every little bad thing about them.
So let me just say this, don't wait for tomorrow for the new mercy. If mercy is new in the morning, then there's a nighttime happening right now. Like, if I'm upset with him and we're in an argument, there is some night in us. There's some hard times in us. We're going through a hard time. I don't get to wait until tomorrow morning for the new mercy, because the morning that Jesus wants to give is the fresh start now.
Right.
Don't wait. Don't wait. Forgive. Come together. I mean, sometimes it is the hardest thing. And sometimes people are stubborn. And they just don't do it. And so you have to be the one to do it when you know that there's problems. So a lot of times whenever we've had problems and we've gone and gone and gone, and I'm like, what in the world is going on? Okay, what is wrong with you? Why are you acting like this? And he'll start talking. But until I make him open up, he just goes on about his business, letting me just tootle in my own nastiness, and he won't say anything. So sometimes it will take working together for good. Working together.
Yeah.
Vicky?
Well, what if you know that the person that has harmed you did it on purpose, or does have no remorse
Right. And that's, I mean, that's a good point, because that is sometimes things that we have to deal with. When it comes to that kind of a forgiveness, that has to be something that you do because you have been forgiven.
Right.
Not because they deserve it, they earn it, they're going to respond to it in such a way saying, "Woohoo, you forgave me, yes, I'm so sorry." No. You're then reciprocating what has been given to you freely by God. And, you know, it's easy even to say, yes, I've freely been forgiven. But sometimes it is difficult to release that individual that has intentionally hurt you and caused, you know, detrimental damage. And I mean, who knows? I mean, one individual, I mean, his wife was murdered by the man that he went to see in prison. I mean, that's pretty heavy, you know. But he really, in his heart, he knew he had to go and face him. And when he did, he had tremendous compassion for him. To the place where this individual who went and forgave that individual started a prison ministry. Mm-hmm. Because he saw the value in them. And that person did receive, but it still took, "You forgiven me, Lord. Now I'm going to go ahead and forgive them." And like I said, they may not receive it. They may not be thankful for it. But it releases you. It releases the individual who then chooses to step out of that uncomfortable place.
Forgiveness doesn't free that person. Forgiveness frees you.
Yeah. I think the way to think of unforgiveness, it's like a door that is closed. It's like an anchor holding your ship. I mean, it's like, you know, it's like a chain ball that you can walk around. I mean, it is just something that keeps us from being who we're meant to be. And one of those attributes, as we saw clearly, we're supposed to be love.
Right.
That's the better way. That's the highest way.
But I do, because it talks about offenses will come in the scripture. It says that offenses are going to happen. You can't not have offenses when you're that close to one another. When you know one another's heart, and when you know one another's intentions,
and
when
you've been vulnerable, letting
each other's giftings,
in your life.
And
right.
You've been vulnerable, that, you know, it's going to happen. So Jesus wants us to conquer this unforgiveness thing. I don't know that we'll ever be able to conquer it to the point of never being offended again, but I do believe that we can grow in this area. It's very important to Jesus that we do that, that we grow in that area, because then I need to turn and help somebody else that is still at the baby stage where I am not forgiving them for nothing. I'm like, I am not going to do it. And I can say, you not forgiving them is like me pouring a glass of Drano, wanting you to flush them down and you drinking it. That's what it's like. And I'm going to tell you something. I saw a video just yesterday of a little boy who's autistic, 12 years old, and he accidentally drank some liquid Drano.
Oh, my goodness.
And his whole mouth was burned, and he's lost a bunch of his lip, and his insides were burned. And it's not pretty, but that's what it makes us feel like inside when we don't forgive. He was the perfect vision to see how unforgiveness in a person's life can affect a heart. So be very careful. Jesus really wants us to learn just to love and not have it be so that, not have the intention be, "I can love now. I'm good. Great." No, it's so both of us can grow. All of us can grow. All of us can be better. All of us can move on to the next thing that Jesus has for us.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And we'll continue this love, because it's a lot. Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to be together. And Father, we thank you for your love for us, Lord, because we know that we couldn't even begin to love, Lord, truly the way that we're to love, Lord, without you first loving us. So I pray, Lord, that you would just allow that love to grow this week in each and every one of us. In any area of our life, Lord, that it's been dormant or hidden or even in some ways, Lord, made to be locked away. We've locked it away. We didn't want to let it out because it meant that we had to do something like forgiveness. Lord, that you would allow that to open up this week, Lord, and that we would be, Lord, like Jesus, that we could be his hands and his feet, his heart and his eyes and his love, Lord, to this world, Lord, because we have your love fully given to us. And we just thank you for that. And we receive that now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.
Go talk to Matt right away.
Yes.